Balance for global sustainability. Our world is in trouble. The way we live is causing serious damage to the environment. We can't keep living like we do now, with everyone using cars, flying everywhere, and living in huge energy-guzzling houses. But we also can't go back to living like ancient hunter-gatherers. We need to find a middle ground, a right relationship between our economy and the environment. For too long, we've been focused on the wrong things. The words economics and ecology may seem distant, but they both come from the Greek word ekos, meaning home. Yet they often clash. Global warming is a prime example of this conflict. We must challenge the idea that rapid economic growth and relentless money-making are the only paths for society. It's time to question if they're truly inevitable. Repairing the damage we've caused to our planet is not just a scientific task, it's a moral imperative. Greed, once frowned upon, has now become a driving force in many societies. But this insatiable hunger for resources is driving us towards disaster. We need to rethink our priorities, moving away from endless consumption and towards sustainability. Solutions through Quaker ethics. Delving into the ethical dilemmas we face, let's take a leaf out of the Quakers' book. Quakers, also known as the Religious Society of Friends, have a knack for challenging the norm. Back in the 1780s, they pushed against the tide, advocating for the abolition of slavery in England and the U.S. Their relentless pursuit of justice reshaped history. Today, we can draw inspiration from their approach to tackling pressing issues like global warming. According to Quaker philosophy, what matters is promoting the right relationships that uphold the integrity, resilience, and beauty of our shared world. Conversely, wrong relationships jeopardize these vital aspects. To strike a balance between humanity's craving for wealth and the necessity for a healthy environment, let's dive into five key questions. Question 1. What is the economy for? Ever wondered what the whole point of the economy is? Well, it's pretty straightforward. It's supposed to make sure everyone has the basics covered, like food, clothes, a roof over their head, and access to healthcare. But here's the kicker. Our current economic system isn't quite hitting the mark. It's like some people have more than they need while others are left struggling to get by. We've been sold this idea that a booming economy means we'll all have better healthcare, education, and a cleaner environment. But guess what? Even with all the fancy economic growth we've seen, many countries are still dropping the ball on these essential things. It's time for a change. Instead of chasing after endless growth that only benefits a few, let's shift gears to something more sustainable. Let's aim for a whole earth economy that's all about making sure everyone has more than enough. In today's world, the global economy has morphed into a problematic state due to the relentless pursuit of wealth and expansion. This issue is often attributed to two main culprits: advocates of unfettered capitalism and influential corporations pushing for minimal government intervention in markets. However, despite their influence, societies have implemented crucial measures such as setting minimum wages, ensuring pensions, and prohibiting child labor. Indigenous wisdom for a sustainable economy. When we look at the practices of Native Americans, we find valuable lessons for building a more balanced global economy. Unlike some settlers who depleted resources recklessly, indigenous cultures emphasized respect for nature. For instance, they considered it unthinkable to strike a child or kill animals needlessly for trophies. In an ideal global economy rooted in ecological principles, we'd adopt a similar mindset. Instead of exploiting resources without thought, we'd prioritize sustainability. This means harvesting only what we need and using resources wisely to support life without causing harm. Question 2. How does the economy work? When delving into economics, you're bombarded with charts showcasing market dynamics like supply and demand. While these are useful, they miss the bigger picture. Often, economists overlook the influence of biology, chemistry, and physics. However, Earth's scientific realities dictate the lifespan of resources such as food and energy. Economists tend to focus on easily measurable metrics like incomes and GDP, but they overlook broader issues like famine and pollution. They struggle to account for undesirable economic activities and their consequences. For instance, when someone dies in a car accident, the associated costs like ambulance and funeral expenses get lumped into GDP without consideration for the tragedy. Modern economics often overlooks a crucial factor. The true wealth of our planet lies in the essentials for life: air, water, and food. Think about it. Green plants are like the unsung heroes of Earth, converting sunlight into the sustenance that keeps us alive. Yet, economists tend to prioritize money over this fundamental ecosystem. It's like they're wearing blinders to nature's invaluable contributions. Our human economy isn't separate from the larger ecosystem with its limited resources. Science tells us loud and clear that economies can't just keep expanding endlessly. Yet, many economists seem to be living in a bubble, ignoring these natural limits. Picture this: a practical, down-to-earth study that recognizes the priceless worth of nature, not just the profits we can make by exploiting it. Spaceship theory for sustainable economics. Kenneth Boulding, an economist, introduced the concept of viewing Earth as a spaceship in the 1960s. He likened our planet to a spacecraft, emphasizing that it has limited resources, like a ship with finite supplies. This analogy urges economists to consider the Earth's closed system when analyzing economic activities and their impacts. Instead of seeing pollution's effects as separate or external issues, Boulding's theory prompts us to understand that in our planet's limited environment, every impact is interconnected and internal. Question 3. How big is too big? In the past, society has often believed that bigger is better, driving a relentless pursuit of growth in all aspects, from businesses to buildings to homes. However, this mindset has led to overconsumption of resources, pushing our planet to its limits. We should promote sustainable practices that ensure we use resources responsibly, considering the needs of future generations. This means being mindful of the environmental impact of our actions today, as the consequences of our decisions will affect those who come after us. To keep our world in balance, we need a new way to measure economic success. The current system, like GDP, only looks at growth without considering the damage we do to the environment and ourselves. We need a better measure that takes into account things like pollution, health, and the health of our planet. Imagine our economy is like a house with an air conditioner. When it gets too hot, the air conditioner kicks in to cool things down. Similarly, our economy needs a thermostat to stop it from growing too fast and causing harm. But what should trigger this slowdown? Climate change, pollution, and the loss of species are all important signs. We need a thermostat that can measure these things and tell us when it's time to dial back on growth. Scale and integrity. Imagine an ecosystem like a puzzle, where each piece plays a crucial role. When an ecosystem loses its integrity, it's been so harmed that it can never fully recover. Scale and resilience. Ecosystems can be tough, like a superhero who bounces back from setbacks. Even if we fix the damage we've caused to places like the Everglades, they won't return to their original untouched state. They're strong, but not invincible. Scale and beauty. Beauty is more than just looks. It's about harmony and balance. Imagine a painting ruined by splattered paint, or a song with off-key notes. Similarly, a polluted river or a cleared forest lacks the beauty of a healthy, thriving ecosystem. The health of our planet depends on four key factors: population, affluence, technology, and ethics. 1. Population. Large populations, combined with increasing consumption, can throw our ecosystem out of balance. It's not just about how many people there are, but how much they consume. 2. Affluence. Wealthier individuals tend to use more resources and energy. This means that as people become wealthier, they often have a bigger impact on the environment. 3. Technology. Technology plays a dual role in climate change. While it can contribute to the problem by enabling the extraction of more fossil fuels, it also holds the potential to help us reduce our reliance on these resources. However, significant technological advancements are needed to make a real difference. 4. Ethics. The values we hold as a society greatly influence our behavior towards the environment. Unfortunately, our consumer-driven culture often promotes selfishness and excessive consumption. In an ideal world, people would consume less, not because they have to, but because it's the right thing to do for the planet. Question 4. What's fair? For years, we've debated fairness in economics, often focusing on the gaping wealth divide between different countries. But now, there's a bigger fairness issue on the table: our relationship with the planet. Sure, global growth has lifted some of us, but it's come at a cost, one that's not fair to the health of our planet and all its inhabitants. Think about it: ripping apart mountains for coal, destroying forests for tar sands, or sucking dry rivers like the Athabasca or the Nile, that's not fair play. We've got to extend fairness beyond just us humans and think about all the other living beings out there, driving species to extinction. That's just plain wrong. Many countries have laws to protect endangered species, but that's not enough. We need to go further and help them thrive. Because a healthy biosphere isn't just good for animals and plants, it's good for all of us. The extreme gap between the rich and the poor is a burning issue that demands our attention. Our economic system should ensure that everyone has access to the basics: food, shelter, and healthcare. Yet, many are deprived of these necessities, which is simply unfair. Some argue that the free market will naturally provide for everyone's needs, but let's face it, our resources aren't distributed fairly. Factors like where you're born, your social class, and how your government operates play a huge role in determining who gets what. Question 5. How should the economy be governed? Many people have stopped participating actively in governing, even though governments should represent their collective wishes. But here's the kicker: our governments haven't done enough to protect the planet. That's where we, the concerned citizens, come in. We need to step up, make changes, and create global oversight for our limited resources. The Global Reserve calculates how much of Earth's resources people can use. It replaces the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. The aim is to balance the economy and protect the environment. Trusteeships of Earth's commons manage shared resources like the atmosphere. They follow recommendations from the Global Reserve. The Global Federation protects human rights, security, and the environment. The Global Court prevents abuse of power and ensures regulators follow the law. Strong Relationships 4-Step Guide. 1. Grounded and Clarification. Our society often tells us that wealth equals happiness. But truth be told, once we have our basic needs covered, more money doesn't necessarily mean more joy. Real contentment comes from being healthy and having meaningful connections with people and nature. When we understand this, we can change how we live and how we treat the world around us. 2. Design. We need to come up with new ways to deal with the climate crisis. This means creating new rules and ways of doing things to protect nature and make it stronger. 3. Bearing witness. Start by changing how you live, lead by example, and speak up about the issues. If enough people do this, it can spark a big change in how everyone lives. 4. Nonviolent change. Look at the Quakers' way of making change without violence. They've used it to win big battles, like ending slavery. We can use this same approach to fight climate change and save our planet. Key points. 1. Shift towards a sustainable, whole Earth economy for equitable resource distribution. 2. Integrate indigenous wisdom for responsible resource management and sustainability. 3. Recognize Earth's limited resources and interconnectedness for sustainable economic models. 4. Prioritize fairness in economic systems, ensuring access to necessities and protecting the environment. 5. Empower global governance mechanisms to regulate resource usage and protect the planet. 6. Promote meaningful connections with nature and prioritize well-being over material wealth. 7. Advocate for nonviolent action and societal change inspired by Quaker principles to combat climate change.